I'm an old guy, and I've been working in the church a long time. I know I should just sit down, because it's not going to get better than that. But Joyce has tried to get me for 2 years, so I thought I'd better do more than that. The God of hope, fill your heart with the joy that is to each one of you in believing. Amen. This text I've chosen for today. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of God. Marvelous. The foolishness of God. You know, I'm an old guy. I've been almost a clown as long as I've been a pastor. And people think the foolishness of God has to do with clown ministry. But it's really clown ministry has to do with the foolishness of God. But they think that's what it is. You put all their makeup on and nobody knows who you are. And that's just not the way it is. The makeup is like a window and everybody knows who you are. The clown just lives life inside out and lets all these things that we normally don't let people know, our weaknesses, because we understand the grace of God. The foolishness of God is grace. It just doesn't make any sense for a God to love us so much, to give up Jesus Christ, his only son, to die for us and to forgive us again and again when we trip, when we fall, when we stumble, when we go our own way, when we lose the cross. This God continues to love us and will always love us and will always be there for us. That is purely foolish because none of us would do that. That's the foolishness of it. And it reached a point where they lost the cross, where Luther, with a passion, just like your pastor, and this day is filled with passion and a whole other side. It's what young people are looking for in their grandpas and grandmas, in their moms and dads. Young people today, and there are different cultures, and millennials don't understand the stories of God. And some of you older people here are the last generation of people that know the stories of God by heart. Not just by memory, but by heart. And that's what young people are looking for. They're looking for adults who have a passion for a God who is foolish enough to have a passion for us with no strings attached. Continue. They're looking for that kind of truth in love. And it's just not around here. It's not around anymore. You are such gifts to the foolishness of God and his grace. I cannot stress that enough. Luther was so caught up in this. You'll probably remember when you said this. standing before, and he was going to, they asked Luther, give us an answer without horns. You know, are you going to recant? You're going to take back all your writings? And Luther says, oh, gosh, I've written a lot of stuff. I don't know if you've noticed. Gutenberg's press helped him a lot. You know, you notice. And there are different writings. And said, give us an answer without horns. And they pressed him. So he finally said, okay, you want an answer without horns? I'll give you one. My conscience is bound to the text of the Bible. Unless you convince me from Scripture, and Scripture alone, and human reason, because popes and councils have been known to err, and unless it's from Scripture and human reason, I will not and I cannot recant. God help me, here I stand. And he risked his life. Now, I'm an old pastor, but I remember how well I was trained by my mother. Best seminary I ever had. It never was at a seminary, but the seminary should have known her. And she wanted to talk to me about Jesus all the time. But so Luther made this big stand. It was like confirmation. Do you remember when you went through confirmation? It's changed too now. Back when I was confirmed, Palm Sunday, 1958, and in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And on Friday night, we had the big examination time. I had a German dad. German dads don't say much. My dad said things like, "Huh." That's about all he said. It meant lots of other stuff. I learned inflection. You know, there was Plattdeutsch. Oh, it meant other stuff. But what he was saying to me is, don't embarrass us. You know, just put a little pressure on the kid. You know what I mean? And we had about 40 in our class. And our pastor, who I love, Dr. John F. Johnson, said to me before, he said, "Dick, I'll ask you this question, but I know you know all of them. In fact, I could give you the number in Luther's Small Catechism, and I'm sure you can give me the question, the answer, and all the Bible, because I know your mom." And he did know my mom. And he said, "So we'll do that." But then after that whole time, and I did not embarrass my family that were there, but then he came up to me. I think he did with some of the other kids too, but I know what he did. He said, "Now I'm going to ask you a question on Sunday on your confirmation. That's kind of like Luther." And he said, "You remember the story?" I said, "Oh, yes, sir." And he said, "I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to answer. I want you to think about it all night, which means I'm not going to sleep all night long." And for somebody who's 13 years old, that's hard not to do. And so he said, "Will you hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ and not let go for the rest of your life?" Now, don't answer me. And I'm asking you the same question. Are you willing to do that for the rest of your life? And I said, I was going to answer him right away, and he said, "No, think about it." So I, all night long, I'm rolling in bed and thinking, okay, hold on to the cross. I'm in the United States of America. I'm not going to get tested. You know, I mean, this is the land of the free. And of course, so I thought, piece of cake. And so he asked me, sure enough, on that Sunday, he said, "And Richard Arnold Hardell, are you willing to hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ and never let go?" And I boldly said, "Yes, sir, for all my life." And I smiled. I thought, everybody would probably say the same thing. Well, I was the only one he asked. And so there was something else going on. I ended up getting him as a professor of religion in high school. I had him in junior college. I had him again in college. We ended up being pastors together in St. Petersburg, Florida. And when he died, I preached at his funeral and stuff. I mean, God's up to something, always with these questions. So your questions from grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, grandparent, uncle and aunt, God is up to stuff with you. And it's about the foolishness of God and with a passion, and with a passion. So I went along in my ministry, no problem, until one year. We happened to be in Wittenberg, Germany, and some of the clowns were with me, and we were in the Castle Church. I'd been there before, and the clowns had been there, and we've clowned all over Wittenberg, and Dr. Herb Brokering was one of my mentors, and he was with us. He loved the clowns because we would do what he said. He's kind of off the wall, and he's a very creative, most creative man I've ever met. And he would say some things about Lutheran theology there, and then he said, "And now the clowns will do it." And we had 30 seconds to come up with a routine to do that. It was great testing of our ability as well as our faith. So we're in the Castle Church. This is where Luther was buried. He's buried over here, right under the pulpit. About right here. But the pulpit is way up here. Way up here. Now, I know the stories say that he died in Eisleben, where he was born. But you look at that grave that's there, and you look at that pulpit, you know how he died. He fell out. I've fallen out of a pulpit. That's the reason I don't preach from a pulpit anymore. But he went straight in, because it's a small grave. He went head first or feet first. I don't know. That's there. And so we're shooting some pictures. Dr. Brokering and I have always been working on, and Herb is now dead, we're always working on a book that we were pretending we were writing. And it was a clown in Wittenberg, and it was always about Lucas Cranach, the painter. And we were doing some poses that were there. And so We're shooting some pictures, and all of a sudden, it's a worship time, Andacht. Andacht is about a noon worship time. And the pastor comes out, and dressed in all black with his little beefkin, and it comes out, has a lectern right here. And it was, and so we were all supposed to sit, and there were people from all over the world and stuff, they were there. And we were sitting about right where y'all are, sitting there. And I turned to the clowns and say, I'm hoping this isn't short. This gets pretty boring. And plus, there weren't, most of them didn't understand German. I can understand German enough to be able, but to know that it's boring anyway. It'll be okay. It won't take very long. And I said, but we'll know the melodies of the hymns. That's always fun about Lutherans is the singing, because we know the melody and we could do, even with kazoos. I use kazoos a lot, and you should do that sometime. And because men, haven't you noticed that Lutheran men mumble? They don't sing in most places. Most of them don't sing. Some of them do. And they always, that's their excuse. They don't do. Well, use a kazoo. Anybody can use a kazoo. And you can do four-part harmony with a kazoo. It's marvelous. It's fun. And the kids have a great time with it, and you do the hymn tunes. And you can do that in any language. Kazoos are any language. And it works. So I was thinking all that kind of, and this service was going, and I said, it'll be over, sure. Well, we sang some hymns, that was fun, and then he was kind of preaching, I guess, and I recognized the text, and all of a sudden, there was a disruption, and it just got me excited. From the back, way back here, this is my excuse to come and see you all down here, too. I know why you sit here, and I can come here. From the back, a man comes up the castle church, up the aisle in the nave here, and he looked like he just got off the train. Dust in his suit coat was or sport coat was ripped and stuff, and his hair was messed up. And the preacher was preaching up there, and he comes in and he's shouting in German. He said, "Why are you here? You come to this church? Why are you here?" And he looks at the pastor and he says, "They say one thing and then they do another." I'm really getting excited. I didn't know the Lutherans were that creative in Germany there. I turned to the clowns. I said, "It's a dialogue sermon. This is cool. I've never seen them do this before." And then I looked up at the pastor, and the pastor's standing there, and he's like this. And so I look back at the clowns, it's not a dialogue sermon. He doesn't know what to do. And isn't that just like the church? And I'm thinking, here's a man who, it wasn't an evil man or anything like that, but a man who may have not taken his medication that day or something. And I don't mean that negatively at all. I think he was, but he asked this great question. Why are you in church? They say one thing and they do another. That could be about any of us. And it's a powerful question when we go our own way and lose the cross and others can't see the cross. And so what do you do when someone disrupts? Well, you sing another hymn. And we sang a hymn and I said, oh, what are, and it was a beautiful hymn. It was a prayer. Lord, bring healing to those of body, mind, and spirit. I thought that was very passionate about it. But then the pastor just walks out. Man standing there, and he wasn't going to leave. And so we thought, okay, I guess we'll go back and take our pictures. And go back to the picture. So we go over here. If you can pretend that this is over there. We're right by Luther's grave. I have to hold on. My legs don't work anymore. So we got these clown shoes that are about this big. And I'm all in clown costume. And I've got one foot. I put a piece of cloth down, a little respect. But I also wanted to, one foot in the grave. What did that look like? See, these are things that the Holy Spirit puts in my mind. And I like to find that out. And so I have one foot. And Penny Sewell, who is a fellow clown that was with us, was standing over here. And We just moved, so I couldn't find that cross. I've got it packed in one of the boxes. And the cross that we use there, and she's holding the cross like this. And, of course, death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. We're not afraid of death because of the resurrection. It is the cross of Jesus Christ we're holding on. And so now I'm holding the cross. We're taking some more pictures. And just then, that man comes running at me and runs right into me, knocks me right over. But he forgets we're clowns. We got shoes this long. We're like Weeble Wobbles. We're right back there. And we're just right back. And I'm back there, and he looks at me, and he's fiery, and he grabs the end of the cross. And I've got the other end of the cross. And I'm back to my confirmation. Will you hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ for all your life and not let go? I didn't know confirmation took that long. My gosh, that was like 30 years. And so he's grabbing one end of the cross. If we were shooting a movie, you could have not choreographed it better. And he's pulling it. And I'm hearing Pastor Johnson, Dr. Johnson, and I'm holding that cross. And I said, my gosh, he's got a better grip than I do. And we're going back and forth, back and forth. And he's getting more upset. And I pulled him right here, and the cross is right here, literally cross-eyed. And his face is right here. His eyes were fiery red. I'll never forget that face. And he looks at me and shouts, "Sind Sie Narren?" Which in German means, "Are you fools?" And again I go, what a good question. Seriously, with this text, what a good question. It's a question, are you fools? And I'm holding on, and I can't let my pastor down. And I look at him, I say, "Jawohl," which means, "Yes, indeed." And he lets go and says, "Oh." And he walks over, and Dr. Brokering talks to him. And they wanted to arrest him and stuff like that. And we said, no, they couldn't do it without our witness, and we weren't going to do that. He was not an evil man, but it was something going on. I'll never forget that. Are you fools? That's the Reformation. Luther was a fool because he had a passion for the foolishness of God by grace alone, by faith alone, and the most radical, by Scripture alone and the priesthood of all believers. Are you foolish? Oh, my friends, that's the cross of Christ. Hold on to that. Never let go of that cross. But understand this. If it would happen to slip for you, the arms of the cross will never let go of you. The foolishness of God, that even when we let go, he holds on. That's the reason there are arms on the cross for you and for me. This God who holds on to us, circles us with grace, and stretches our life and calls us to be fools for Christ, to live in a manner that people can always see the cross, to live in a manner that your grandchildren know this Jesus, and Jesus with a passion. You know, I'm looking at you, and I figure you must have, I would say, about 75 stories that you could tell about God's grace in your life alone, and you've heard them all.
again and again.
Yes. Well, good. Again and again. Repetition is part of learning. And that's it. And you've got stories, too, that are unique. That is the gift. You all have stories of the foolishness of God in your life. The foolishness of a God who, even in a wheelchair, will never stop loving you. Wonderful. Whether you walk again, whether I'm going to end up in those pretty soon. We can have races. and we'll have a lot of fun. But we're part of the foolishness of God, that he does not let go of us. Nothing. Luther said it so well. You can take away everything. You can take away my possessions. You can take away my spouse. You can take away my wife. You can take everything away from me. And Luther's great phrase was, one thing no one can ever take away from me. Ich bin getauft. I am baptized. I am baptized. And God promised to hold on to me forever. The foolishness of God. And we are splashed with promise. Oh, my friends, that's reformation. That's celebration. I want to ask you this question, and I want to remember what the answer should be. Jawohl. And you shout it. Luther's, I'm always tempted to do this. I was a pastor in the South for a long time, too. So and there aren't a lot of Lutherans down there, but there's some fine Christians, but they have different styles. They say things like, yes! They make Jesus a three-syllable word. Jesus! And we get, I can do hallelujah. Yes, preach it, preach it. And it's so fun to preach there. You know, the women, when you're really going, especially in African-American churches, with Baptist, they're so fun. Because it's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. They're with you. And if you can get them to waving both arms and stuff, you're really going. And it's just exciting. Lutheran, just sit there. too much. Well, and I'm encouraging you to be part of the foolishness. Don't just sit there. Always with your heart, let the Holy Spirit shape you so that people see the cross. Your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephew, your godchildren, the members of this community here, the members of this faith church, that always see that it's reformation. You are splashed with promise, and you have stories of God's grace. Share your stories. And it's a good German word, another one. Share it with gusto. Usually it comes with beer. Share it with gusto. Now, the question is, it's a reformation question. Will you hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ and not let go? And I want you to answer with a shout. Outdo Baptists, okay? Jawohl, ready? Will you hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ and never let go for the rest of your life? Yeah, boy! Amen.